Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, I've just gone 7:41 Central African time. I like what you did there, Boniface. Beautiful nasheeds coming through, really giving us the impetus, the sound of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, going to over 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 million people across the globe. Our podcast going here, there and everywhere. Early on, talking to Salim Kazi, the chairperson of the IBC, how they embraced and celebrated the grave diggers, and alhamdulillah. Also, he mentioned Ahmed Parak, what an integral role he plays linking them up, and Ahmed Parak being the former chairperson of the IBC and the founder member, Ahmed Parak now, Councillor Ahmed Parak, on his segment, Straight Talk with Ahmed, Councillor Ahmed Parak. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmed?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa ala nasalam to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with another fine, beautiful Sunday morning Shabbat. You know, always we make dua that Allah give us good days and keep away from all the fitna, Shafat.
No, absolutely. Fitna, fasad, and everything's happening. And, you know, we got a ready-made story for you of, Kafan Dafan, when you look at the building that burned down in Johannesburg. And a lot of stories coming through, says a lot of Muslims were, burned there. And, most of them, even the buses came to take those that were injured. They refused to get onto the buses because they were afraid that they will be deported and so forth. But it is also believed, Ahmed, that those buildings that were occupied were given to the NGOs for reasons of, taking care of people that were homeless and so forth. But they turned this, these NGOs turned out to be like landlords, started collecting rent from these people and, kept that building in a very dilapidated stage. And this is what happened. So a lot of investigations needs to be done. And how rife is this, where NGOs have been given buildings by the municipalities, but have turned it to be a cash cow and the living conditions are so deplorable. Any truth in this, Ahmed?
Shafat, what happens in the city, in most cities in the country, when they see any building that is owned by the city and it goes to real estate, all buildings normally is controlled by the real estate in every city. Now, what happens is you go there. I do a lot of adoption, we call it. I adopt schools and convert them into madrasas, convert schools into ulums and all these things all the time. In fact, I'm looking at one at the moment. I'm negotiating in the heart of Amlazi. There's about 16 classrooms there. That school is in a very bad state. I'm trying to get that school, and we will be converting that in the heart of Kawamashu, put an ulum there. Now, what happens then? An NGO goes to the city, then he makes an application, it goes to real estate. Real estate says, okay, fine. Instead of that building laying empty and they're losing all the windows, doors, they come and, these paras come and take everything, all the pipes, fittings and all that. They give it to the NGO, what they call an adoption, adopt that building or adopt a park, adopt, all these things. That's how the city normally works with. Now, what happens in most cases, there's a mafia group that the drug lords, they come and take over. As soon as the NGO has written up the deal, it's been done, and MOU is made between the two parties and the NGO and the city. That what happens, like how we took Islamic Burial Council, took all the cemeteries from the city, an NGO, an NPC company took over the cemeteries from the city. We are adopted those cemeteries, we are looking after it. It's a similar case like what happened in all these buildings. Now, these drug lords come and take over, and then all those people who have signed the agreement and all with the city, they got no say anymore because these guys are mafias, and they're now their drug lords. They sell drugs from there, and the money being collected is these drug lords. They got control over everything in those buildings, and they don't care. That building is in a bad, bad state. NGO is supposed to take that building. One of the criteria is that when you take that building, you got to maintain the building. Like when we took the cemetery, we had an agreement there in the MOU that we had to maintain and keep the standards up. So that's how it's supposed to have been. It's supposed to be done. But now the thing is this, these guys have taken it over. The drug lords are penetrating into that market there, and they don't care. They leave that building. They don't paint it. They don't clean anything. There's no service to the building or anything like that. That's where our major, major problem comes in. Now, what happens also, in one room, they'll make like 4 to 6 partitions. They take drywall partition and they will put it for each one. They collect 1,500 rand. Now, in one room, you get 4 people. There's already how much they're collecting, Shafat? There's three grand they're going to be collecting in per room. Now, there's how many rooms in that building? So, in one flat, you might have 2-bedroom flat, 3-bedroom flat. So, when they take it over, so they're collecting money there. So, there's big money they collect there. And this is what happened in all these buildings, Shafat.
Now, Ahmed, you know, with this disaster that took place, you have any statistics of how many, Muslims were there that are passed on and so forth? And as you talk about these disaster buildings that are there, perhaps some of the officials that are involved, and that's why they turn a blind eye to it, because this has been put for many years. We're talking the story over and over again. Perhaps a disaster like this will perhaps speed up investigations and perhaps get rid of this type of cartel and mafia tactics, Ahmed.
Shafat, in fact, when Herman Mashaba was the mayor of Durban, he identified at that time 300 buildings.
Mashaba of Durban or Johannesburg?
Joburg, when he was a mayor.
Yeah, Joburg.
Herman Mashaba, when he was a mayor of Joburg, he identified 300 buildings in the CBD that were supposed to have been taken over by the city and put them out and get the right tenants, not NGOs or anything. There's supposed to be a proper due diligence done before you even take those the buildings being given to you. So that's where the problem. For us, as of yesterday, and I've been working with the Department of Health, where we have got 76 bodies, but there's also patients at the hospital. There's quite a few patients. Whether they will see next week, Allah knows best, but some of them are also on a touch-and-go basis there. So we don't know, by early next week, Monday, Tuesday, we should know, maybe the numbers will go up. But as of now, as of last night, it was still at 76. As far as how many Muslim is concerned, they, I believe, is in the region of about anything from 20 to 25 at the moment. But there's also all various other nationalities in there. The other big problem that we face in South Africa is, you know, all these Malawi brothers, they come from Malawi, they work here, alhamdulillah, they came for greener pastures, that's fine, we don't have a problem. But because in their homeland, they got a Muslim name only per se, but in actual fact, they're not Muslim. Because over the years, you know, I've been in this burial game for many, many years. And I had a meeting with a lot of these Malawi brothers in Beda Street and a few other places, you know, where they are, Maron Hill, where the bulk of them are staying. And they told me in no uncertain terms, in a flat, there may be 5-6 staying in one flat. Now, what happens is, there's 3 Muslims, 100% Muslim brothers are there, but they're 2, but they got like a name of Muhammad or Suleiman or whatever name, Muslim name is just for per se, but he's not a Muslim. Now, one of the, from that 5, one is not a Muslim, he has passed away. The others will also tell you, you know, when we want to do the funeral, burial and all. Now, because it is his kind, his brothers from Malawi, now he is not a Muslim, and they will come and tell us, no, he's a Muslim and all, there's his name here. You know, in Malawi, we've got a problem. You know, if we don't put they don't assault us or anything, as long as we've got a Muslim name, they leave us alone and all. This is the problem that we have faced. And we have, in the many years, we must be buried, maybe 20, 30 of them are not Muslim in our Muslim cemetery. But, you know, Allah knows best. We couldn't do much there because all these other brothers came out. They say, no, he stays with us. And you can see, you know, we all knowing that Muhammad. So, you know, on face value, we took it and we did ghusl and everything. We made janaza namaz and we buried the poor brother.
Well, Ahmed, as you say, you know, many things that you take it on face value and so forth. I mean, there's no ways of checking up the individual's true identity via the, you know, maybe the consulate or the Malawian embassy, Ahmed?
See, Shafat, even if we, you know, before we, if you don't have any paperwork, say if a Malawi brother passed away today and but tomorrow, because he got absolutely no paper, he got no passport. They say his passport was stolen or whatever it is. Now, the brothers come and tell us his name is so and so. So we have to now take a photograph of that day and send it to the embassy. And the embassy normally generates his passport or identification or anything. And based on that. But yet we know that that brother's name, it comes when the passport is being sent from the embassy, is not a Muslim name. Now, how can we challenge that? Because all his brothers, yeah, are saying no. He stays with us. He's our Muslim brother. Because of Malawi, the issues we face with, that's why we give this name, and that's how we get caught out, Shafat.
Yes, Ahmed. Jazakallah khair for that. I'm looking at a message on the screen. Babu says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan and Ahmed Parak. You guys are tops. I'm just thinking aloud, Ahmed Parak, those people that were burnt in that building, very tragically indeed. We know that we as Muslims show concern, and we will give our Muslim brothers a decent and sisters a decent burial. But what about the Christians and other people of other faiths and denomination? Will they let those bodies just go have a pauper's burial? That's a very good question from Babu, Ahmed.
Shafak, we in every city, every council, we have a disaster management fund. In this case here, because that whole building was burned down, we have a disaster management fund there, and then what they will do, they will get a dignified burial, although you are not a Muslim. The Muslim brothers, alhamdulillah, has been taken care by Saberi Kisti. They have arranged all, they opened up an additional area of the cemeteries to assist them and everything else. So, you know, based on that, we don't have a problem. There is funding available for disaster management, and this will be paid by the state for the deceased that passed away. They were not Muslim too.
So in other words, the state or the government will be paying funeral parlors or, you know, hearses and all that, an X amount of money to do the burial for non-Muslims, Ahmed?
That's correct. But there's a special tariff there. You can't, you know, not like a normal non-Muslim funeral will take place. It will be like 20,000 or 15,000, they will give you X amount for that burial, maybe 5,000 or 4,000, including everything. That's how they will normally work it. And we said to them, because we have got the funds for things like this, you know, for any disaster, that we have got funds for it, and therefore the pilots will get paid.
We'll get another message. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. I want to tell you that in yesteryear, we owned a lot of buildings in Durban, but unfortunately, it all has been hijacked. And we had made many representations to the council, but we have met with a roadblock. Reason being, I think they are also captured by these mafias, or who cannot say that they are the mafias themselves. Ahmed, how do you respond to Anonymous there?
So, you know, that brother mustn't throw in the towel. If he can identify those buildings, and if you can get the ERF numbers from which I can help him via the real estate in Durban, we can pick it up. That information, what he's looking for, we can even pick it up in Google. He will, if he gets the ERF number, we will be able to pick all the information up with a press of a button at the registrar's office as well. We will be able to say whether it was registered, that building was registered in ANZ Pty Limited or Trust owned by Muhammad Sulaiman Patel or whoever it is. We can get that, And then we will write up to the real estate as well as the city and tell them, you know what, this building was, there's a title deed here, we got everything here, has been hijacked, and we need this thing here. And they will get, then what will happen is, there's a partnership between the private sector and the city, and we will get everybody out, which we, what we call a blackjack team. They will come there with heavy weights, they'll take everything out, put it on the road, and obviously, you'll have to do the process. In other words, go through the match court and bring the order to remove all those people. That's what it will entail. It's not a major train smash, but it can be done. A lot of people I have helped over the years, and they've got the building, and today they sold the building or they rented the building. They done it up properly. They put the proper security there, and they don't have a problem.
But what happens when people, you know, abandon the building and they've gone overseas and they said, you know, had enough and they don't do anything. But surely the, you know, municipality knows the rates are not being paid. How do these buildings get water connection, lights connection? I'm wondering if it's abandoned and the owners are no more there. And after how many years do you as Itikweni or municipality, after how many years do you decide, you know what? This building has to be auctioned or this building has to be demolished, Ahmed?
First and foremost, Shafat, if there is any connection in terms of water or electricity, that's illegal. Whatever they're doing, it is illegal, number one. Number two, now we've got a new system. When we come and disconnect Ahmed Shafat Khan in Fingo Beach, in the morning, the guys are given a list, like for tomorrow, tomorrow is they're going on Tuesday. Monday, the list is prepared for that inspector to go disconnect Shafat Ahmed Khan on Tuesday morning. So he goes there, he goes at disconnect, and he sees in his sheet also how many times previously they came to disconnect it. So then from that information, now we have learned something new. When we come to disconnect, we pull out the wires now. We disconnect you from the pole so you can't put it on, number one. Or what they, when they come there now, Shafat Ahmed Khan will say, "Hey, that guy, hey, listen here, boss, I've got a dispute with the city. I'm busy working with the city because there's a problem with my account. There's 200 rand there." So he takes the 200 rand and he's gone. But in the afternoon, another inspector coming from another district, coming and checking whether this thing was disconnected or not and why the meter is still running. So that guy is in trouble. By Wednesday morning, he's already reprimanded. He says, you went to Shafat Ahmed Khan's place. Tuesday, in terms of this list here, you said disconnection. But there's an inspector went and he took a photograph of it. The meter is still running. What happened here? Then he says, no, angas. You know, the famous Zulu word is angas. Remember that, Shafat? Famous Zulu word is angas, where, you know, he said, I don't know nothing. So he says, you know what, maybe the client put it on and off. When I left there, I put it off, I put a tape, you cannot put it on and off. He said, no, the tape was, somebody hampered to that day, and the tape was out and all. There's it here, the meter is running. He said, no, I don't know anything. So this is what he said. So now we say, disconnect from the pole. So you can't go up the pole and put the lights on anything.
Now, but the big story here is, if you're giving a bribe to someone to not disconnect you, isn't that a criminal offense?
If they catch you, you have become a accomplice to the transaction. They can charge you for fraud.
Now, how often do they take up these cases? You know, I know many O's that did this, Ahmed. They just tell me, hey, you know, Chef, hey, that guy came to disconnect me. I put 5 clips in his hand. And I mean, these I'm talking about a few years ago, they got away. But now, as you said, you know, with the AI coming to the fore, you can't get away with things like this, Ahmed.
No. Now we have got we're changing the system, and especially among the white community, and all, they don't play, Shafat. They give you that thing, they'll mark that 200 rand note, they give it to you, they say, there you are. There. You want it there, you take your 200 rand and go. The money is marked and everything. So before anything happens, soon as you left, he went to Bria police station and he have already opened a charge against you because what he did, he's taken your name and he took a photo of yourself.
Now, Ahmad, you make a very valid point here indeed. You find, especially most of the people in the white community, they're not into bribery and all that. If they find you like, you know what, you're just wavering, they'll set you up and they'll put you in, Ahmad.
They put you one time, they don't play, Shabbat. They don't play. We say, no, Kaini, you know what I mean? This thing, you know, but if what is if wrong, is wrong, Shabbat. At the end of the day, you can't do that.
No, absolutely. You heard that from Councillor Ahmad Parak. Hey, Charles, you don't be the Maros and do the wrong thing. Do the right thing, man. Make Allah happy too. Yes, Ahmad, we're looking at many things happening at Itikweni, and I don't know who the think tanks are. And they're talking about, the wanting skilled waste pickers on the garbage dumps because, as we talk about, the para starts at the garbage dumps. I mean, people may be dumping unwittingly some dollars and some pounds and some sterlings and maybe one, two gold nuggets. Talk to us about this new, law that, what the Itikweni wants to do to have skilled waste pickers, Ahmad.
But what we are saying is, we want to regularize everything. In fact, number one, firstly, we have now started interviewing all the ex-engineers, quantity surveyors, top people that who used to be with the city. Now we have started to employ them on a permanent basis so that we'll be able to now start putting things right in the city. That's number one. Number two is now in terms of these garbage dumps and everything else, we have a problem. The problem is number one that you are a garbage guy, come and pick up this. You come and sort out. You get a lot of copper, you get a lot of steel, and all they come and move all that one side, and they keep it. They got their click. They put all this thing together, and then they take it, and they go through it. Send it through to the scrap, and they get their money. Now, a lot of, they got their own grouping there, they fight now. Now, some one lucky spark there has now found a wallet, and there were some dollars in there, a couple of $100, and one guy got up with a good mood and all that. Allah opened his door, and he found one wallet, one handbag there, he had some gold ring there, earring there, or a gold chain there. So these things happen. Now that's when the fight starts now. You know what I mean? This fella found it and all that. He reckon, this is mine, this is mine. That fella is jumping there. So this is how the fight takes place there. So what they are saying now, if you want to regularize it, X amount only will be there, and that is it and finished. And they will, and try and empower them to clean up as well. Because, a lot of things you find there. There's a lot of, because people come and dump a lot of things. And today you got all these bins in every area. If you go to Swingo in Toti, when I used to live there, I used my Sunday morning. I used to take my nephew's bucky there, and all whatever was there in the yard, and I'll clean it up, put it in the bucky, and I take the boy and go and put it in the Toti bins there. You just drive your vehicle there and dump it. They give you one load per household. You got all your dirt and everything. Put it in there. So you pick up a lot of things in that. Even if you go to that where the dumping site is, and you'll be shocked among the white community and all that. If they don't like anything, even nice bicycles and all, they just come and leave it there and it's gone. That's how it happens, Shabbat.
Yeah, and Jazakallah for that. Mahmood says, Assalamu alaikum. I really enjoy straight talk with you and Ahmad Parak. I can listen to you the whole day. Jazakallah for that. He says, Ahmad, I've been on the beachfront recently and I've noticed there's piles and piles of sand and dredges. What's going on the beachfront, Ahmad? What's that all about, Ahmad?
Shafat, there's a pipe system that we're trying to push in there, and there's a big problem that we have got at the moment at the harbor. The harbor issue is a massive issue. You're getting now we are getting those very, very big super tankers, super big ships are coming here with a lot of containers. Now that is a problem at the moment because some of our ships cannot enter the harbor because of the width of our harbor and the depth of the harbor. And they are starting to dig trenches and all that in terms of that is concerned. Then on the beachfront side of it, if you go, you see from one side they have already started laying big massive pipes that is for the storm water. So that because you can see In some of the, right up from Amstlanger right up to Belito, you cannot use the beaches at the moment because the Rosu is going into the beach at the moment. So there's a big, massive outcry there in that area, especially among the white community there, because of the issue that we are faced with. So that is the two major issues that they are busy working with it at the moment, Shaban.
Hey, our listeners are asking us the right question this morning. This one here is from Faisal. He says, Assalamu alaikum. I want to know from Ahmed Parak, who does the regular inspection and maintenance on these pumping equipment and the pipes that are running from the beachfront into the harbors and so forth? Are these the sewer pipes that will be replaced and bigger pipes will be pumping more sewer into the harbor? Ahmed, how you respond to Faisal there?
Shabbat, if you, on Thursday, because Action SA has taken the city to court regarding this lawsuit that is going via the river to the sea and direct to the sea, our delegation, our legal team from Joburg was here, Jillian Benson, she was your senior counsel, she was here on Thursday with the city top brass management. We had to do an inspection in local in all the pump stations. And what we did was we beat them to the draw. What we did, we employed a private investigation team that top engineers in the country. And we managed to find some sponsorship and we managed to get these top brass and they gave us a complete report. When we send them that report, Shabbat comes via the court and our finding. And they were like was dumb stuff. They didn't know what hit them. So that's the reason they call up this inspection in loco on Thursday. We went with them to Tonga. We went to the south, right through Durban, and we showed them all the pumps. Now they're buying this pumps mainly from China, you know. And they, if you take Tonga, they spent 80 million rand in pumps. And it only lasted less than 6 months. And now today we're still getting tankers going out there to give water to those communities there. It's like, you know what, when I was in the clothing industry, when I used to sell T-shirts, this one guy came and told me, you know what, this T-shirt is wash and cry. So when you wash that T-shirt, when you see that it's shrunk by so much, then you start crying about the T-shirt. So it's like Chinese, like you buy, like you wash and cry, you can't help it. You put the pumps there, 80 million we spent, 6 months, is not working. So it's a problem we face with Chabad.
Hey, I tell you, Ahmed, in Zulu say, washa and kala. When Akala, you buying Chinese there. Yeah. A messenger from Shafiq, he said, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmed, last month, the Itikweni municipality clarified it is not pumping sewage into Ushaka Beach. The municipality also backed up its statement by sharing an article about a certain construction being taking place. So in other words, where is the sewage going now? Please, Ahmed, advise.
Shabbat, most pump stations cannot take it. So there's honeysuckers actually pulling all those things out. And, you know, just to keep the city running at the moment, because we got something in the region of about 2,000 to 3,000 applications for major development in the city. Now, because you can't put up a massive development when you can't get two things. You can't get water and you cannot get your sewage connection. So that is a problem that now the city needs to move very, very fast, because otherwise we're going to lose all this investment. Now, there's a massive investment coming in Marin Hill. There's another investment coming for Ford in the south. So all these investment will be gone to other provinces if we're not going to put it together. So this is a problem that we are faced with. So at the moment, they're working 24/7 to find a remedy. And I think with our court case at High Court, they're jumping. Because if we're going to get the date in the early part of maybe Jan or Feb, when that matter is going to be on trial, what will happen is we will get a judgment on that. And then they're in trouble, because then people will, the top rat in the city will go into jail. They will go and serve jail time because it will be a contempt of court. So that's where they are very, very worried. They are doing whatever it takes, because they're even asking us to withdraw the case. Let's talk. And, you know, now they even Thursday, they said, you know what, we can, you are showing us and we are showing you all what we are doing. So we said, no, the court case still goes ahead till this whole matter is resolved.
Taufik says, Assalamu alaikum. A great chat on Straight Talk with Ahmed Farooq. Ahmed, I was reading earlier in the Natal Mercury this month that the municipality announced that leisure businesses, including these different restaurants on the promenade, will make way for new entities. And the report said that the new entertainment and leisure ventures were expected to emerge with a total investment of 200 million rands. I want to know, who will all these new entities be given to? Will it be a BEE thing? We Charos left out, we Vetos left out, and even we Brainos. How do you respond to Taufik there, Ahmed?
Shafar, after the BRICS, you know, more countries have joined the BRICS setup. And there's a lot of new investment is coming into the country. And all these investments, they want to do it. What they are talking about is, we're talking about Cape waterfront. We want to do our waterfront. In fact, they have started and it's taking shape, but it should have been done many, many years ago. And in fact, we lost a lot of revenue because of that in terms of tourist industry as well. Now, the business sector will be put up all these new stores, new buildings and everything for that. Now, our brother wants to know, now he says that it will go into BEE. No. Everything will be advertised. There's nothing, nobody will get anything. You do the application, it will come through to the city. There's a special business desk which we got especially for SSME. It comes there, and from there it gets rolled out. And we are encouraging small businesses. Because the big businesses, we need to encourage all the small businesses. When the small businesses flourish, that's where the money is. Not with the big businesses, Shafat. Big businesses can bring in the money, but the smaller ones employ more people because they employ 3 people here, 5 people here, 20 people here. Those are the ones we are targeting at the moment.
Rahman says, I really enjoy your Straight Talk because both you and Ahmed pull no punches. Jazakallah khair for that. He goes on to say, but I must tell you, the whole of Durban is run by the Bangladeshis and the Pakistanis. Go and look at all the restaurants and all the eating place. Stinking, filthy. In the beachfront too, they got it running. They run everything. You're talking about new ventures coming through. I'm guaranteeing you, Ahmed Farooq and Bru Chef, they will capture that too. Ahmed, how you respond to Rahman?
Brother Rahman, I can tell you, those days are numbered for all these guys. All the Pakistani, Bangladeshi, that are trading illegally here, you know, days are numbered. In fact, how many of them in the last 1 month, we closed them down for hygiene purposes, but in-house city health went and closed them down. The issue is, if you cannot run your restaurant according to the city's bylaws, we're closing them up, and we're not talking anymore. What we come, we give you first compliance, and after the compliance, if you haven't complied in terms of what the bylaws are asking, we close you down and finish. That's what we did. We have already closed up in the last 1 month, about 7 of these restaurants, cafes are closed, because wherever you're serving food, and if there's no hygiene protection there, we close you down.
Yeah, Ahmed, as you said, hygiene protection is very important. Asif says, Bru Chef and Ahmed Farooq, you guys make me proud. Ahmed, let's turn the Durban beachfront into a diamond mile. Forget the golden mine. Golden is olden, but I want a diamond mile. Can you do that, Ahmed? Because you got the drive, you got the zest, and you got Herman Mashaba. Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, one good thing happened. Ace Makoshule has now opened another party. You must be seeing that ADT or something, ACT or whatever. All right? And you'll see that he does a very big favor. In fact, I want to give you a say. In fact, Herman Mashaba must send him a letter and thank him for opening the party, because now we wanted, you know, now he split the vote big time and it opened the way for Action SA. So now that one big plus factor came through in the last 1 week. Yes. 2024, now we are certain that they will not get that 50 plus 1. They're not going to get that ace. And now ace, he's got his cartel with Zuma, and you know he comes from that scenario. So it's going to be a massive shift in what's going to happen 2024, and that is the big plus factor. And what's going to happen then? Now everything split down the core, and now we'll form a good coalition government to run the city proper and this country proper. That's what's going to happen. And now that's the reason ANC is trying to even do a deal with DA. They're going behind the scenes to do a deal because they know what's going to happen now. They brought EFF on board, but EFF is like a green mamba snake there. You got one side a green mamba snake, and you got EFF on the other side. Who you have to worry about? Don't worry about the green mamba snake. Worry about EFF. They will come and bite you.
Well, Abed, you know, you're talking about EFF. Recently, Julius Malema had fired 200 of his councillors. And you know what? Where that 200 councillors will go, I got a gut feeling now. I think I know the answer. They're going to go and join either the Action SA or Ace Magashule. I think most of them will go to Ace Magashule. And it seems as if both the ANC and the EFF have shot themselves in the foot. What's your comment?
Shabazz, that the EFF is an offshoot of the ANC. You know, he didn't want that Zuma. Now he went to see Zuma all the way when he was not well. He went to the hospital. He went and see. Then he said, no, Zuma shouldn't be go back into jail. You know, he's an unpredictable character that you can get underneath the sun. And you can't trust him. And furthermore, you know, he says he had 60,000 people for his 10th anniversary. Yes. You know how he had that, Chapat? Number one, he had about 15,000 to 20,000 all them there, all from Zimbabwe, all of them there. Then he had about 15,000 to 20,000 is rent-a-crowd. You know how rent-a-crowd was, Chapat? Is you pick up anybody from the road. You give them 80 bucks to 100 rand a day, you give him a t-shirt, and you fill the stadium up. And then, in actual fact, he must be had maybe less than 20,000 of his own members there. Now, you saw, now this will tell you the truth, what has come out. His members were supposed to have brought in so many buses, he has fired so many of these PR counselors and all that, whoever never played the part and brought the people to the stadium. So he has fired them. Now these people, now some of them, it could be if it's a ward councillor, then they'll have to have a by-election. But if he's a PR councillor, he will replace it to somebody else. So he is in a big dilemma at the moment. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. He's in big problem. Now ANC is trying to pull from every angle at the moment to bring in the right people up on board. For them to talk to DA, they must know they're in big Sakrat mode at the moment.
No, absolutely, Ahmed. And looking at Shokat's contribution, he says, Bhaijaan, Shafaz Ahmad Khan, and respected councillor Ahmed Parak, I really enjoy this segment. I look forward to it every Sunday. I can tell you that family members across the globe listen to this program. Recently, I read that crime experts and political parties have called for drastic action to tackle crime in KwaZulu-Natal following a series of high-profile assassinations. This killing is going on. Its only solution is making them Muslims, and then they'll stop being greedy. Ahmed, you got a big job ahead. Start doing your dawah and make them all Sulmans. How you respond to Shokat there, Ahmed?
Shafat, Shokat is 100% right. We marched to Pretoria about a month ago, and we went and handed a petition to Bekinkele for all the murders that he's taking. And KZN was the second biggest in the country. So we gave him the stats, which we compiled through our analysis in Durban here, and we have given it to him and for the whole KZN, how many deaths. In that, we also found out this in the country, there's 70 councillors that have been killed in the last, from 21 election to now, 21 councillors have been shot dead. So now we must also take into account, now we are gearing up for the 24 election. How many more deaths is going to take place? Secondly, when we had a meeting with Beking Kele, our top Raki from Joburg, to say that, you know what, we have a problem. They need to do something. They have already put a task team. And you saw over the weekend, from Thursday, Friday, how many 18 people were shot with a cash in heist and all. It is a hand-picked team from various police stations, and in some of them are the previous hawks, the top brass. They don't play. They put bullet first and then don't. They talk. And that's what happened there. They killed 18 because those guys have opened fire. They don't. When these guys don't play, they don't play. They all black uniform. They went and finished them up. 18 of them were dead. So this is what a task team has come to Durban as well. And in fact, on Monday, I'm meeting with the head of Berea Police Station, Colonel Blood, who is going to be giving us an update of what is happening in the city as well. In our area, we'll be busy putting that together as well.
Kasim says, Assalamu alaikum. Congratulations to Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, for hosting a powerful show on a Sunday morning. It makes me get up to listen. He says, Ahmad Tariq, only four political parties declared their donations. Other than the DA and the ANC, Herman Mashaba's action essay, Musi Meimani's Build One essay, were the only parties to declare. The EFF did not declare any donations. And plus, may I remind you that the South African banking billionaire, Michelle Leroux, is pumping millions of rands into South Africa's main opposition party, the Democratic Alliance. What are your thoughts and take, Councillor Ahmad Tariq, my number one man? Ahmad, how you respond to Kasim?
To tell me I'm your number one man, you know, it's a congratulations. Thank you for that. But Shafat, we are the only party in when it comes to anything in the forefront. We'll make sure that we'll honor our deal with the, in terms of the IEC. We will reveal the funding that we're getting from whoever. You know, we are the only party, and some of the other smaller parties, we was a newborn party. We are just about two years old in this month sometime. And we haven't got anyone in parliament or in the province here. So we don't get any funding from the government like the other parties. Yes, inshallah, next year when we are there, we will also get our own funding as well. So we will take it to another level as well. But with all said and done, what little we have got, Shafat, and the inroads we are making, it is unbelievable, and the people are supporting us. You know, I went to last week, I went to Scotchbera on that side, and they got also a sewage issue and all that. And I went there and only finished the meeting, and I was going into the car park. There's about maybe 3-4 people was waiting for me to talk. And then they say, you know what, we want to vote for you. Then I had my lady with me as well. And I told her, sign them up. All of them signed on the turn. I got my golf shirt and all that. Let's fix South Africa. So when they read that there, let's fix South Africa, they're signing as well. Mr. Paruk, there you are. They're signing it up. So, you know, things like that happen all the time. Yesterday I was in the other side of Phoenix and Verlam. There's a football team in Unit 17. It's the first time they have got admitted to PSL in the third division. And unfortunately, in football, they know me. Hey, they said, Mandro Parak, please come here and help us. Now we got here. These grounds are stuffed up. There's light here. It's not working. We got a change room. The community, because the team has now got into third division, you won't believe it, Shafat. The team, that all the community, all the neighbors and all the people, and there's one or two businesses and all that, they redone that whole change room. They painted that whole place up. If you go and look at it, that place is immaculate. If we were doing the plumbing yesterday, now I told them how to sort the lights out. I said, you guys here, you'll need to train in the evenings and all that. You won't have a problem. You can't train here because you've got no lights. send me a letter. I will go to the city manager, go to electricity department, put a prepaid for you. You got no problem. You put your nice cage it up properly. And only when you guys are training, you just go and put your card in there. And you got life. You won't have no issues with the council or anything like that. They won't come and cut you off any issues. And I'll get my guys to assist you there in terms of that. And I can follow it up. See, they were so happy there. Then there was a problem in Buffalo Drive. For the last almost 6 years, Shafat, the houses, they were connected with water. They used to get water all these years. For the last 6 years, they're not getting any water. Everywhere you see on the roadside, they got jojo. People have to come. In some cases, they don't even have water for a week. So I went and did that inspection right through a meeting with the city manager on Tuesday regarding that, because I phoned him and I spoke to him. He said, can't be. Now I took pictures of everything and I got those gopas and all that. Shafat, when you go and see, you know, like you think of like India, the people are coming in wheelbarrows, putting 2-3 of those 20-liter cans there to come and fill up water. And you know what? With children and all, with small children, they're pushing that wheelbarrow to the houses and all that. Hey, it's unbearable. And I went and looked at all that and I found the solution. Those pipes were actually stolen. They just need to put those pipes and get water connected there. So all these things I went and did yesterday, Shafat.
Well done, Ahmad. Action man. Ahmad Parak, looking at a message from Shiraz. He says, by the way, Ahmad Parak and Bruce Schaff, the total amount declared by the four political parties amounted to over 58 million rands. That is small change. Ahmad, how you respond to Shiraz there?
You, Shiraz is 100% right there, Shafat. Because, you know, the ANC and you know, how much they're taking from the coffers of the city as well as from the government. That's number one. Number two, the DA is not, they're not declaring everything. They got their own ways of declaring how it is. And we are the only few parties that have already declared. Now, the thing is this, what supposed to be declared, they're not declaring. That's the problem we have going to face. And in fact, this 2024 election is going to sort the boys from the men here. And everyone is going to fight to the core here, because this is going to be the mother of all elections, Shafat.
Well, you talk about the mother of all elections, and then we know there are these mafia cartels that are giving political parties, you know, funding and so forth. But they don't give it for nothing. They want something in return, Ahmad.
Shafat, you know, even now too, you know, they say, face of peg, tamasha, day. So it's the same thing. They want something, you put the money up front and you'll get it done. That's where these guys want, they want all the big contracts. They want the tenders. And now we are closing the gap on everything. So that's where the big problem is. So that's why they want to make sure they want to bring their old people in. Some of these people, are they in government for years? They only know in government work and nothing else, Shafat. They are just there for not serving the community to how to loot the system.
Yeah, absolutely, Ahmed. And then, what Boniface? He said, hey, please tell Uncle Munro to make T-shirt for me. Okay, what T-shirt you want? He said, straight talk with Councillor Ahmad Parak, Shafat Khan, and engineered by Boniface. I think you owe it to him, Ahmad, because every Sunday morning, he's your man.
Tell Boniface to write what he wants on the T-shirt, and I will make a plan and I'll send that thing. He must just give me a logo, what logo our logo is, and I'll send that thing. That's not a problem. I'll give you the T-shirt, not wash and cry, but I'll give you a good T-shirt.
Hey, Boniface, go and hug Ahmad there. Yeah, Ahmad's got the T-shirt. He's got the printing machine ready. And he's getting you 100 cotton. Yeah, 100% cotton from Egypt. Egyptian cotton, yes. Ahmad, you were absolutely mashallah this morning. Your parting words before we let you go?
Shafat, I'm saying to the community and everyone, don't throw in the towel. There's massive issue. Every day you wake up, you got problems. And the famous thing I have learned over the years, problems are golden opportunity. When you have problems, you put your head into gear, you think about it, and you'll find a solution. Yes, we got massive problem in the country. There is always light under the tunnel. Don't give up. Make dua. Keep up with two things. One, read your Salah and read the Quran. You will never go wrong, Shafat, and you'll find a remedy. And this country is a milking cow for especially our community and everybody else in this year. Go anywhere else in the world and you will never find how you can make money in this country like where you can't make it in any other country, Shafat.
Ahmed, you're really an asset to the Ummah and asset to broadcasting also. Really enjoy your company. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.